Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you.
We're always thankful for these opportunities that we have. We're honored and grateful that you are here. We're thankful for those songs from Brother Dave and the prayer from Brother Roy. We're always thankful for those individuals that serve in those capacities, and we're always thankful for them. The elders are going to have a lot of decisions in the future, and I'm not saying when those decisions are going to come, but they're going to have decisions in the future. I think if we would agree that there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We're not sure how far that light is, but certainly there's a light there. There seems to be an opening, and certainly our elders are concerned and cautious, and I think that we understand they have a lot of hard decisions to make, a lot of things to consider, and they're going to be working on that. And certainly, as you're thinking about those things yourself, please share your thoughts with the elders, because they want to hear. And after we've went through this process, and still are going through this process for so long, I think we kind of shut down. We don't communicate as much, but certainly communicate your thoughts to the elders as they are thinking and considering, you know, different things. That being said, the Tuesday class has the decision's been made for that to continue past daylight savings time, and that is going to continue for the foreseeable future. We don't know where that line is. We don't know where the light is, but for now, that class is going to continue. I said that at the Tuesday class, but I know some of you were not here for that, so we just want you to make sure that you know that and you understand that. And certainly, we are so thankful and grateful for our elders and all the decisions that they've made thus far. And we pray that we continue to support them and love them as they continue to watch over us and do those things. You know, security is a hard topic when it comes to the Bible, but it's a topic that we see in the world a whole lot. You think of, we really like security. We really like consistency. We really like reliability, particularly in times where we feel insecure. And particularly over this last year, certainly there have been times where people have felt insecure in a very physical way, but also we want to think of insecurity in a spiritual way. You know, you think about life, you think about the future, and you start to realize there are no guarantees. There are no certainties. In fact, if you're going to say there's something certain about this life, it is that there is uncertainty about this life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But how can we as Christians be more secure spiritually? It's a hard topic because many times we sway too far to the left or too far to the right. And what I mean by that is there are two sides when it comes to spiritual security. There is God's side, and I would suggest to you that there's an element of our side. And there are mistakes made whenever we slip too far one way or too far the other. Sometimes people slip into the trap where they are so focused on God that they almost put it all on God, and then they take kind of a seat to the side, and we end up with things such as once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter the way we live. God's got everything under control. He's got me secured. I don't need to be concerned about anything. If we focus on God alone, sometimes people are led to those conclusions. But also, there's another trap. And I would suggest that some people slip into this trap as well, is we get so focused on ourselves that we start to feel inadequate. We start to have doubt about our spiritual security, where we stand in relation to God, because we focus so much on ourselves. Like so many Bible topics, there is a balance. And whenever you try to preach, it's so hard to find that balance, because really, there are elements on both sides that are true. There are elements of God is trying to secure us as best he can, and then there's an element that we need to be mindful of where we're at in perspective of our relationship with God. I'm going to say this morning, I'm going to lean more towards the God side this morning, which I know would lead people perhaps to the conclusion, well, I don't need to worry about anything. But I'm trying to balance it, but I will focus more on one side than the other. Because I want to talk about spiritual security. Can we be spiritually secure? And can we understand as Christians, by having that spiritual security, that security can actually affect other aspects of our lives? Is if we understand, if we know that we are spiritually secure, can't that affect our other areas of our life? Perhaps it can affect our attitudes. Perhaps it can affect our conduct. Perhaps it can affect the joy we can have in life. I think that when we feel secure, don't we feel better? We feel better. We feel more comfortable. We're in a better place. I think God has given us tools that we can know and we can feel that we are spiritually secure. What I want to go over are three tools or three observations that I think can help lead us to feeling more secure spiritually. Number one is God gave us the book. He gave us the inspired Word of God, and I think the inspired Word of God can help us with our spiritual security. In a world that there are so many uncertainties, where in a world where there's so many variables, in a world where so many things are thrown at us day in and day out, I think the Word of God can offer some consistency and security. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23-25, it says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all of the glorious man as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Isn't the Word of God a consistent thing in our lives? Isn't it a reliable thing in our life? Isn't it something that can offer us some security? Some spiritual security is that we can look into the words of God, we can see what God wants to tell us, and those things are true, those things will last, those things are things that we should cling to. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and gives off a long list of what the Word of God can be used for, but it ends with that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is consistent. The Word of God is reliable, and I think that God has given us the Word of God so we can be spiritually secure. You know, when you think of relationships, when you think of things in this life, one of those aspects is truth. There are not too many things that are better than truth, because truth is consistent, truth is reliable. What's the opposite of that? Well, lying, deceit, and all those things. And we get to deal with that in the world all the time, do we not? We get to deal with inconsistency. We get to deal with lies. We get to deal with individuals that are misleading. But the Word of God does not go down that road. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has not left anything out. We are thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us to be spiritually secure, and God's Word is a tool that we can feel spiritually secure in an insecure world. As God's people, with His Word, we can feel more secure. We can be certain of things because we can read them, we can understand them, and certainly we can apply them in our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. God's Word does not change. It does not change with culture. It does not change with years. It stays consistent. It stays reliable. In many ways, God's Word is a blanket of security. God's Word is not subject to change. It is the same truth then, and it is the same truth now. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." God's Word teaches us, it guides us, it comforts us, it strengthens us, and it does not change. That can offer us some spiritual security. It's a security that the world really cannot offer. You start to think of the world, and you start to think of God's Word. God's Word is consistent, it is reliable, it is 100% truthful, and then we turn to the world, and we get and receive almost the exact opposite. The world many times is inconsistent. Many times the world is not reliable. And many times the world is not telling us the truth, it is attempting to deceive. And how many times do we try to secure our spiritual life in the wrong places? We try to lack our spiritual security to the world and what men say and what the world says rather than what the Word of God says. And many people fall into that trap. Is they avoid this security tool that God has offered. God says, "I'm giving you the Word of God. It is 100% truthful. It has all things that you need. You're thoroughly equipped for all things. That you have all things that pertain to life and godliness." He gives us this great security tool, but do we use it? See, many people run from it. and say, God, I don't want to use your security tool. I don't want your security blanket. I don't want to read it. I don't want to study it. I don't want to apply it. And then they wonder when they don't feel spiritually secure or they're spiritually adrift. If someone says this, they'll go this way. If somebody says this, they'll go this way. Their security is based on the wind. Their security is based on the sand and not the solid ground. You know, I think of the world and the things of the world, and a lot of times people try to put their trust in those things. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. This idea of some individuals are going to trust in their wealth. Some people are going to trust in their possessions. They're going to trust in what that money can buy them security-wise. But God says, don't trust in money and the riches of the world. Trust in God. And when we have that spiritual security, can it affect the other aspects of our lives? Is that when we feel more spiritually secure, can we not feel more physically secure? Now, I'm not saying that we're not cautious. I'm not saying that we don't take precautions. But you know what? When I think of my security, when it comes to God's Word, I'd rather have God's Word than a security camera. Now, I'm not saying I'm against security cameras, but I'm just saying in terms of security, particularly spiritual security, what are you going to take? Are you going to take what God says is going to make you spiritually secure? Are you going to take what the world says? Because the world tries to get into religion sometimes, and then will say, this is what you need to do spiritually, but the Bible says this is what you need to do spiritually, which is going to make you feel more secure. I hope the words of God, because the words of God do not change. In Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord to put your confidence in princes. Where do you put your confidence? Where is your security? Where do you link your spiritual security to? Is it what men say or is it what the Bible says? And what I'll tell you, sometimes people will vote with their time. There's a lot of people do not invest time into God's Word. And I think if we look around in our society, we can see this almost constant dilution of God's Word. That the constant lack of attention to God's Word is over the course of time, it seems like people are just sliding God's Word to the side, and they say, you know what? I'm okay with just what man says. Do we really want to know what the Bible says on particular issues? Do we understand that that will give us a spiritual security? A spiritual security that a mask cannot give, a spiritual security that a vaccine can't give, a spiritual security that a gun cannot give. There's a lot of things in the world that people pursue and say, this is going to make me 100% secure. And we realize that a lot of these things won't make us 100% secure. But the security which God offers through His Word is something very special. It is consistent. It is reliable. It is true. And sometimes I wonder, how can people feel secure listening to the words of God? Well, rather, I think people will listen to the words of men and feel secure and not even consider what God has to say on a particular issue. We live in a world of insecurity. Things change every day. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. The Bible understands. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's so many things that we can't predict. But when we have God's Word, He gives us His tools so we can be more spiritually secure. And when we have a feeling of spiritual security, where we actually know that we're spiritually secure as well, I think it helps us as we go throughout our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. See, when it comes to spiritual security, you have a choice to make. God has given us a powerful tool. One of the powerful tools He's given us is His Word. Do we listen to His Word, or do we listen to the world? And that's something that we have to consider from time to time. God's Word we can trust. God's Word can comfort us. God's Word can calm us. God's Word can give us peace. God's Word can give us security. Do we take advantage of that tool? Another one of the things that I want to talk about is an observation about God. Is when it comes to our spiritual security, one of the tools that God gives us and He shows us, He says, hey, utilize my Word. It'll make you feel more comfortable. It'll calm you. It'll help you feel more secure and know your relationship with God. But another one of the things that I think God offers so that we can feel more spiritually secure is His love. If you think about God's love, and we try to define God's love, last week I said a sacrificial love. And I think that's fair when it comes to God, who demonstrates His own love towards us, how? By dying for us. A sacrificial love. But a sacrificial love that also, this is probably even more important, an unchanging love. It's a love that when we look at it, it is long-suffering, it is kind, it doesn't boast, it has all those aspects to it. But we understand that God's love is sacrificial, and God's love is unchanging. A lot of people's love changes over the course of time, does it not? When the hard times come, does that love change? God's love, I would suggest to you, really, God's love is consistent. It does not change. I always think of the parable of the prodigal son. We have that prodigal son that goes to the father and says, I want my inheritance early. And the father goes, I'll give you the inheritance early. What does the prodigal son do? He goes off and he lives and he wastes everything. Is he still a child of that father? You know, we think of that aspect of us being Christians. We're talking about Christians and our spiritual security. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So we put ourselves into the story of the prodigal from time to time. I think that's why he uses those parables, so we can put ourselves in those parables sometimes, and not only can we put ourselves, but we can reflect on those situations. But see, we have the father, and the son has went, and he's taken his inheritance, he's wasted everything, he's really done the father wrong. He's taken his inheritance, he's burned everything. I mean, he's really wronged the father. Do you think the father stopped loving that son? Even when he was away doing all those things? The father loves the son. Now, I'm not saying that the father liked his choices. I'm not saying that the father was... But the father loved the son. Consistently. Unchanging. You don't think that love was still there? You know, many think that when they become a child of God and they fall away and they leave God and they're unfaithful, many times people fall into that trap that they think that God does not love them. In fact, I remember a story that was told to me by a preacher one time where he was talking to an individual who was unfaithful and talking to that individual and the question came up, do you think that God loves you? You know what the person answered? No. I don't think that God loves me because of the way I'm living. And I don't think the Bible paints that picture. If God's love is consistent, God's love is sacrificial, God's love is unchanging, the Father in Luke chapter 15 loves the Son. Does the Father approve of the action? No. Is the Father happy with all the choices? No. But the love is still there. A love for return, a love for reconciliation, a love for that Son. In fact, how could you come to perhaps a different conclusion? I'm not saying that there's an approval of the actions, but that love for that son is still there. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God cares for us. His love is consistent. His love is unchanging. The Father never stopped loving him. Can't we see that throughout Scripture? Is that God loves us? God has done all that He can. And God is extending His patience towards us. He's considering His love and His kindness. He sent His Son as a sacrifice. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, Who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, The Lord is not slack in turning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's love is there. Not only does God offer His Word and say, this is going to help you with your spiritual security, but God has offered His love. And what more should God do? He's done about everything that He can. He sent His Son. That's how He demonstrated His love towards us. We see His sacrificial love. We see His long-lasting love. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we see His desire for all men to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we see His long-suffering and His patience, wanting all to come and all to repent. In fact, you might say God's love is everlasting. God's love is always present. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, talking about the people of Israel, it says, "But Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love." I think when it comes to our spiritual security, one, we've got to look to God's Word. Number two, I think that we have to look to the love of God. And I think we have to understand that it's there. We have to understand that that's how God treats His family. His love is always there. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not discipline, right? In fact, the Bible, interesting enough, combines those two ideas. It combines love and discipline, which is really hard for our world to accept today. But the world, but the Bible ties those two together, love and discipline. But God's love is there. There's a lot of decisions that are made over the course of your life. And some people become Christians and they decide perhaps that they're going to leave. Perhaps sometimes Christians decide that they're going to make some decision that's going to bring shame on the body. There's going to be some brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to be estranged. Some brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to leave the Lord. But does the love of God stop? I suggest you not. God is just waiting on the return, hoping for the return, being patient for that return. And when you look in Luke chapter 15, you see the story of the prodigal son. The son takes his inheritance. He runs off. He wastes everything. And he gets down, basically, you know, he hits rock bottom, as we say, and he returns to the father. How does the father react upon his return? He welcomes him back with open arms. Not only open arms, what else do we see in Luke chapter 15? We see a feast. We see a welcoming back, a reconciliation, forgiveness is open and welcome and really look forward to the Father and His love are sacrificial and unchanging. You think of the depth of God's love. He demonstrated His own love towards us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like I said that one story where this person was talking to somebody that was unfaithful, and the person said, well, the question is, do you think God still loves you? And the answer is no. And you know what? That really closes the door for reconciliation. But God loves, doesn't He? He loves the lost sheep. He loves those that have went astray. He wants them to return. But if you think about that, is really, if God's love is only restricted to those that are His, those that have become Christians, those that are being faithful, then people would never become Christians in the first place. Because God's love first extended to those that did not love God. We think of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. We think of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. This idea that God had love for us when we didn't have a love for Him. God had a love for us when we weren't paying attention. God had a love for us when we didn't care. God had a love for us when we ran away. God had a love for us when we fighting. God's love is there. God's love is consistent. And certainly when I reflect on my life, and certainly I think when we all reflect on our lives, we need a Lord like that. We need a God that loves us at all times. He loves us even in our imperfection. And isn't that what we fall into as parents? Are our kids perfect? Our kids have certainly made mistakes, you know, things happen, but does the love stay there? The love stays there, and the love stays there with God. And when we look at the prodigal son and we look at chapter 15, even though the son is making horrible choices and not doing the things that he should, the love of God is consistent. The love of God is there. The love of God has the door open, waiting for that person to return. And I think that should help our spiritual security. God will love us. He may not love our choices. He might not always love what we do, but He'll love us. And His door is always open for reconciliation. When you think about your spiritual security, I think that you've got to think about God's Word. He has given that as a tool so that we can feel spiritually secure, but He's also given us His love. And He has given us demonstrations of that love, and I think that should help us when it comes to our spiritual security. Number three is that He has given us the blood. we're talking about Christians. We're talking about individuals that have heard the word, believe, repent, confess, been baptized, and our sins have been washed away. The interesting thing about the Christian life is the Christian life is not a perfect life, and I think this is where people fall into the trap. If you focus on God, and you just focus on God in relation to salvation, I think a lot of times you come to the conclusion that, well, God's got everything handled, I don't need to do anything. But if you focus so much on yourself, what happens is you kind of start to feel inadequate. You're like, well, am I saved? Have I been forgiven? Because you forget about God. You have to have both together. This is a relationship between you and God. If God is offering his part, you are offering your part, and you're coming together as one. I mean, it's very symbolic of marriage. And in fact, in Ephesians, I think there's a comparison made that when it talks about Christ and his church. Well, we become Christians, we're part of the church. There's a relationship there. And we need to be faithful to that relationship. But one of the greatest things that God offers in terms of us as Christians is his forgiveness. I mean, that was when we first became Christians, but do we understand that after we become Christians, we are not perfect? Is that we are going to become Christians, and along the way, we will fall short again. We will make mistakes. Well, where does that put me in relationship to God? Well, I think 1 John is a good place for us to look and at least consider for a few moments. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." This idea that God's blood is going to be with the Christian. Now, this is a hard idea, and like I said, it's really hard to preach sometimes on security because you try to find the balance. Because some people will slide a little bit too far this way, and some people slide a little bit too far this way, and we try to get the balance. But when we become Christians, we have forgiveness, and that forgiveness continues with us, the blood of Christ. It says that if we walk in harmony with God and his word, we walk in the light. That's what, when it talks about walking the light, I think that's what it's talking about, walking in harmony with God, and walking in harmony with his word. But the question always comes up, what if I mess up? What if I make a mistake? Well, does God know that we're not perfect? I think he does. And this is where it's hard to always, for me to articulate it in a perfect manner, but I think it's possible for a Christian to fall to temptation. I think it's possible for a Christian to stumble. God is not looking for a perfect people. He did not save a perfect people. And guess what? Once we're saved, we're not a perfect people in terms of we're not going to make mistakes. I think it does come down to our attitude. Is that when we fall and when we make a mistake in the Christian life, what do? How do we respond? Do we repent? Do we try to get up and keep going? I think there's a difference, and I think that some people struggle with that idea, but there's a difference between stumbling and falling and just staying down on the ground. We're going to get knocked down in the Christian life in terms of sin. Sin's going to come, temptations are going to come, and we're going to fall. But the question is, are you going to try to get up, or are you going to stay down? And I'm not saying I have the perfect line on this, and I think it's actually one of those things that people struggle with. Well, where's the line? And I think a lot of it comes down to your heart and your attitude. And you know what? God knows that far better than I do. But this idea of let's just focus completely on God and not acknowledge that we have a piece in this, I think is a mistake. But to focus completely on yourself, and you kind of start having this dialogue, is I'm inadequate, I've made too many mistakes, and you start saying all this stuff, and you start going so far that you start talking to yourself in that way that you don't feel spiritually secure anymore. Because you're focusing so much on yourself, you left God out of the picture. See, you can't leave either out of the picture. You've got to have God there, and you have to have yourself in there. And you guys are in a relationship together, and it takes two to make that relationship work. But what's interesting is when you think about this relationship, God is going to make it work as best he can. Right? You know, think of your marriage for a second. I'll think of my marriage for a second. Okay? God will not lie to you. Now, that's pretty powerful to have in a relationship. Now, I'm not saying I try to lie to my wife, but I'm just saying I'm not perfect and I make mistakes. But God, in this relationship, he won't lie to you. Also, God, in this relationship, he will love you. His love will not change. His love will last forever. His love is unchanging. Wow, those are two powerful things in this relationship.
In God's relationship with you, He's not going to lie to you. Not only is He not going to lie to you, He is going to love you.
And number three, when you get to the blood, is God will forgive you. I tell you what, you have those three things in a marriage, you've got something strong. You've got somebody that's not going to lie to you. You've got somebody that's going to love you, you know, through all of it, the ups and downs and the struggles and everything. And then you have somebody that's going to forgive you. That is a powerful relationship. And what the Bible says is in your relationship with God, as you're thinking about your spiritual security, think about it. God will not lie to you. Doesn't that make you feel secure? God will always love you. Doesn't that make you feel secure? God will forgive you. Doesn't that make you feel spiritually secure? This is the best relationship that you can be in. Now, you can be unfaithful. See, we don't want to drop that part out. If God is an excellent partner when it comes to our spiritual security. He's not going to lie to you. He's going to love you. And He's going to forgive you. You just try to be faithful. Do your best to be faithful. Notice how I'm avoiding that word perfect. If I think about my relationship with my wife, okay, my wife's not God, okay, so now we've got mistakes on both sides, you know, but we have mistakes on both sides. So you think of that relationship with my wife, I don't think my wife will ever describe our relationship as perfect, and she's certainly not going to describe me as perfect, right? I make so many mistakes. Some are little, some are big. I make a lot of mistakes. So there's a difference, isn't there, between me making mistakes and being unfaithful? Yes, there is. Right? There's a difference there. And I think that if we kind of take that relationship, we've got God, He's not going to lie to us, He's going to love us, and He's going to forgive us. That puts us in a good place in our relationship. Because do I have to be perfect? No, I don't have to be perfect, but I need to be faithful. I need to do the best I can. And there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. There's a difference between the prodigal son returning home and the prodigal son that left, isn't there? The prodigal son that left didn't want to have anything to do with the father. He says, give me my inheritance, I'm leaving, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm running away. There's a big difference between that and someone that says, I want to come back. I made a mistake, I'm wrong, I want to make everything right as best I can. I want to be here. I want to be part of this. I don't know if I'm always the best at explaining things, but I always view it as there is a God side and there's an our side. Our side is not to be perfect, it's to be faithful. But when you think about God's side, He has it locked down, does He not? God has His side locked down. He is going to be the partner that you always wanted in terms of He is perfect. God will not lie to you. He will always love you. He will forgive you. Every single time. Now that is a consistent partner. Now that's the partner I try to be with my wife. I try to be there and always try to tell her the truth. I try to be there and love her in all situations, in the ups and the downs. And I try to be there in terms of forgiveness. I try to be that in the marriage relationship. And I think when you think about your spiritual security, understand that when you look to God, He is the best partner you can have. He's going to be there. He's going to tell you the truth. God is going to be there, and He's going to love you, and He is certainly going to forgive you, and those are special things. And has God not told us these things? In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In Psalm 103, in verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. See, to be in a relationship with God is a special thing. He can give us some spiritual security. There's a difference between somebody that falls and makes a mistake and they want to be better than the person who makes a mistake and they don't care at all. Right? Somebody who makes a mistake, they don't care at all. Someone who makes a mistake and they're not interested in trying to make it right. Someone who makes a mistake and or they won't even acknowledge their fault. They won't even acknowledge that they hurt somebody or did something in that respect. Walking in the light, I don't believe, is perfection. The only way it can be perfection is with our relationship with God. He can make it complete by cleansing us of our sins. But it's always hard because some people focus so much on God that they don't focus on themselves at all. And then some people start focusing on themselves so much they forget about
who they're in this relationship with. They're like, I'm inadequate. You know, I'm making all these mistakes. And they're very, very hard on themselves to the point that they start questioning their salvation. But it's like, think who your partner is. Your partner will not lie to you. Your partner loves you. And your partner will forgive you. And I think that's what God tries to teach us. Spiritual security is a hard topic, and I'm not saying that we don't struggle with it from time to time. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says something very interesting. It says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, that's a powerful word that's used. And some people might even be like, no, he couldn't have just said that. What did he say? He said, I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. No, that's too strong, John. Don't say that. Don't say that in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. That's what he said. He says, I've written these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. God is not looking for a life of perfection. He's looking for a life of faithfulness. And when you understand the God that we're dealing with, he is trying to give you as much security as he can. I don't think God wants us to feel like yo-yo as Christians. Today I'm saved, today I'm not saved. Today I'm saved, today I'm not saved. Today I'm saved, today I'm not saved. And I think that sometimes Christians fall into that trap. Is if we walk in the light, what are we doing? We're trying to live faithful. It's about an attitude, it's about trying to do the best we can. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. God did not come to save a perfect people. He came to save sinners. And Paul even said he was the chief of those. But you've got to consider both sides when you consider security. You've got to consider the divine side, and you've got to consider your side. God's got his side locked down. He will always tell you the truth. He will always love you. He will always forgive you. You just need to consider those things. And I think that when we consider the partner that we have, we shouldn't take advantage of that relationship in any way, should we? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who died to sin live any longer therein? You know, you think of those ideas. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says that God's grace teaches us. It says God's grace teaches us in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 to deny ungodliness and these things. Is in this relationship with God, don't we want to please him? Don't we want to be faithful to him? Don't we not want to cheat on him? Don't we want to do those things that are good? How I'm still struggling with that word no. I think as a child of God, we can know. Well, how can I know that? I can know from his word, his love, and his blood. Those things coming from God's side, his word, his love, and his blood, help me to feel more spiritually secure. To know I'm more spiritually secure, because how do I know that? I know that God's blood is applied when. I know that God loves me. When I know those things, when I read them in Scripture and I read those things, and in fact, when you look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, these things I've written to you that you may believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Have you read 1 John? It's almost like he says, I'm writing 1 John for a purpose. Well, why are you writing 1 John? I'm writing 1 John that you may know that you have eternal life. That you don't have to live your Christian life every day like, I feel like I'm lost today. I feel like I'm saved today. I feel like I'm lost today. I feel like I'm saved today. You can know that you have eternal life. Well, how can I know that? I can know what God said I had to do to become a Christian. I've done that, and I'm trying to live a faithful life. A perfect life? No. A faithful life? Yes. It's hard to balance those things out, but God is trying to take that. And John is not the only person that uses this language. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul's writing, he says, for we know, for we know that if this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Paul looks to God's word as spiritual security. He knows what God says about heaven. He knows what he says about people who become Christians. He knows what God says about all these topics. He knows. How does he know? Because he knows what God says. And he knows that God's love is there, God will not lie, and God will forgive. And Paul knows if you put that package together, he can be secure. In fact, when he comes to the conclusion of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he starts writing about where he's going, you can see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, when he starts saying, I've run the race. What did he say? I kept the faith. We can know we kept the faith. And I think that can help us with our spiritual security. People go, oh, you're being arrogant if you say that you know that you're saved. You're being arrogant. Well, really, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance, you can't back it up. Confidence, you can. And where should our confidence come from when it comes to salvation? God! God has told me this is what someone has to do to become a Christian. God has told me that He loves me. God has told me He will forgive me of my sins. And if God told me that, I can take that to the bank, can I not? It's a guarantee. It's a certainty. Now, like I said, you focus too much on God, what happens? You start forgetting about yourself. You know, you've got to be faithful. Not perfect, but faithful. We've got to be faithful as we live our life. But we realize when it comes to salvation, our confidence is based on God and the things that He said. It's based on His words, His love, and His blood. We can't leave any of those out, and I think all those are connected. Some people want to take God's love, but they don't want to take His word. You can't do that. You got to take His word, you got to take His love, and you got to take His blood. You got to take all three. You cannot leave one out. If you leave one out, you mess up the whole equation, and you really are not spiritually secure. You need all three of those to be in a good place. But I think God has put us in a good place. In uncertain times, I think that we can feel secure in Christ. In uncertain times, I think we can feel secure in Christ because of His Word, His love, and His blood. The hope is today that you understand and you feel good about where you are, whose you are, and where you're headed. Certainly, I'm not saying that we can't have doubts from time to time. We're not perfect people. I think you can struggle in that area just like you can other areas. But understand who you're in this relationship with. You're in a relationship with a God who will not lie to you. You're in a relationship with a God that loves you. You're in a relationship with a God that will forgive you. And you're in a relationship with God who died for you. When you're spiritually secure, I think you can feel more physically secure. I really do believe that. And I think that there's things that make me feel more secure than a lock. The Word of God, His love, and His blood. There's things that make me feel more secure than a camera. There's things that make me feel more secure than a gun. And all those things is that if you're spiritually secure, I think you can feel more secure as you go throughout life. Perhaps you know that you need to make yourself right with God. You've been unfaithful. God wants you to come back. Prodigal son, please return. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian for the first time. If you're subject to invitation anyway, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.